I said I'm preaching about a service and using moments that we all have in our lives to reach others. And she had this song, and I thought, this is like the perfect song to correlate with the message today. And so, you know, we've been doing a series here for the last 2 weeks called Mosaic, and I'm looking for, oh, there it is up there. It's been a good series for me. I don't know about you, but I've thoroughly enjoyed it. And it's given us a glimpse of who God is through the Gospels, through the lenses of Matthew, Mark, now today Luke, and next week John. And it's been good. I'm getting a clearer picture of who Jesus is through these different lenses of the Gospels. And so today we're going to get into Luke. And Luke is, I'll explain in just a minute. Let's ask God, let's talk to God first before we get into it. Let's pray. Mighty God, I thank you so much for yet another morning here, Father, where we can worship you in spirit and in truth. And Father, we realize and we recognize that you put so many little moments in our lives that we can take advantage of to showcase who you are. And Father, this morning, I just pray that the Spirit would move on our hearts and draw us close to you to get us a better picture of who you are and just the great plans you have for each of us individually, for our families, for our church family, for our school. God, we know you want to do great things and you're going to do great things. So we praise you in advance for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. How many of you have ever gone on vacation? Raise your hands. Yeah. Continually, huh? Yeah, retirement, yeah. How about this, Elmer? What do you think?
Looks good.
Looks good? Yeah? All-inclusive. You know what that means? What? Everything's paid for. Yeah, you pay more, but everything's paid for, right? Your food, the activities, right? Here's another one, okay? You really don't have to leave. I mean, you go to these places and you just get it all, right? Kids might like that. They're not in here, so I'm going to skip it. Look at that. Bob says he'll go. Right, Bob? Yeah. Scuba diving's included. You paid for it. It's all inclusive. Every detail's been thought of. There's no upcharges. It's not included. You go into the restaurant and there was people eating there on the balcony. You go into the restaurant and you can have what you want. Even all the drinks are included in these vacation type ordeals, whatever they are, right? There you go. That one's for Jason. I put that up there. There, they had one, Jason, that they had the paddle boarding included. And check this out. I found one that was all inclusive. Jason, we should go. We'll take our wives. We'll go together. They had kite surfing included in Cabo. Like you could use whatever ones they had. I looked it up. I was like, no way. I want to go to that. So it was really cool. So, you know, it's pretty amazing. But all-inclusive means it includes everything that you need, right? When we get to the Gospel of Luke, okay, when we get to the Gospel of Luke, we could say that Luke is all-inclusive, right? Luke includes so many details in his gospel. It's the most comprehensive gospel out of the four, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you want comprehensive, go to the book of Luke. Because Luke gives us the details, right? He includes more details concerning the life of Jesus than any other gospel. And he frequently mentions names, dates, and places. And you know, you can tell when you read Luke that he loved details. And Luke was a doctor, after all. And so his attention to detail was probably pretty high. And so Luke's, you can see it in the writing, his attention to detail was quite high, right? So Luke was all-inclusive in his gospel, and he emphasized a universal message that I think is important, that most of us would know and have heard this verse, Luke 19:10. He says, "For the Son of Man came to what? Seek and save the lost." The life-changing message of Jesus was available, as Luke put it, to both the Jews and the Gentiles. We have in Matthew, he went after who? The Jews. In Mark, he went after the Romans and the Gentiles. But in Luke, he's all-inclusive. He says, I'm going to include both of you because the gospel is for who?
Everyone.
That's right. So Luke emphasized that it was for everyone. And in my notes here, it says Christ even reached the Samaritans. And culturally, this was a big deal because many in the ancient world didn't like them, right? He also has here this idea of universal, the text going out to everyone in the universe. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to who? To all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So Luke was really opening up the box, so to speak, and saying, whoa, the gospel is for, this letter is for everybody, right? And it's very, very detailed, so you can get a clear picture of what? Who Jesus is, right? That's the point of the gospels, is to reveal who Jesus is. And so in the gospel of Luke, Luke really opens up and gets to the nitty-gritty about that. Have you ever been in a situation, you have to raise your hand, where you've been left out, right? I'll tell you, when I was a kid in grade school, when I first got to, I think it was fourth grade or sixth grade, I can't remember, one of those, we had recess, and they picked teams at recess. You know where I'm going with this, right? Yeah. Me being vertically challenged, and the kids not knowing me being new in Santa Cruz, guess who was picked last a few times? Once they saw how fast I could run, things changed. But I was picked last. You know how bad I felt because I was picked last? I was like, are you kidding me? I'm better than this. You don't want to include me? I felt so bad. I don't know about you, but you know, there are times when as kids we feel that way, but even as adults we feel that way. We do. By family members, by friends, co-workers, right? We don't feel included. And you know, the amazing thing about Jesus in this gospel is that Luke portrays Jesus as he was available to everybody. Nobody was excluded in the gospel of Luke. He draws and paints a picture of Jesus that Jesus said, anybody can come to me. And I'll take care of anyone that desires to come to me. And you know, this includes everyone in here, in this church today, but it also includes everyone outside these doors. Because see, they're included too. And you know, Luke did an amazing job at including and emphasizing people who would have otherwise been forgotten or unnoticed. The very nature of the gospel emphasizes people who most would have overlooked or thought of as worthless. And Luke brings them out and brings them to the forefront. When I think about it, I have a few examples here. Consider the praying tax collector in Luke 18, 9 to 14. Christ singled him out as being justified, right? Situation after situation through the gospel of Luke, Jesus calls out these people and he says, no, you're good. You're free. You're forgiven. You're part of the kingdom of God. There was no sign the box here, checked off this here, and then you can be part of the kingdom. Jesus saw him as the part of the kingdom and said, you're my family. I've come to save you and to minister to you and to meet your needs because you're that important to me. You know, that's the kind of God we serve. A God who searches after people. He longs to meet their needs. You know, consider Zacchaeus, another one, right? He's up in the tree. Jesus walks by. Did he make Zacchaeus get in front of people and ask for forgiveness right there? Zacchaeus, get down here, you crooked, cruel, and greedy man, and you apologize to these people right here, and then maybe I'll hang out with you. Then you can come to church. And then you can do this. No. He goes to him and he says, hey, get out of the tree, man. I'm coming to your house. We're going to hang out. What? Kind of makes you a little uncomfortable, doesn't it? No? You know, even the thief on the cross was noticed by Christ in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus takes note of so many people throughout that gospel, which gives me hope, because there are people that come across our paths every single day who are often overlooked and unnoticed because fill in the blank, right? The homeless family by the bank, the lonely widow at the calf, name some. Who are some people that you walk by or that you see on a regular basis? Can you think of any that come to mind? I see some head shaking, right? Here's the thing. If Luke's gospel is all-inclusive, and that means everybody, Jew, Gentile, Roman, etc., then today, that still means everybody, right? Jesus, through the lens, through the life, and the lens of the gospel of Luke, came to seek and save the lost, right? The hopeless, those that need help. And the challenge for our faith this morning is for us to go out and be the light and be the connecting point to Jesus. One hallelujah. All right? Our job, our role is to be that connecting point for people. And I know it's daunting. It makes me a little bit depressed that I have such a feeble response here this morning. But we truly are to be the hands and feet. I know it sounds cliche. Of Jesus, to help those in need, right? And, you know, Jesus doesn't only want to help them, those people, he wants to bless them, right? And us. You know, last week I told you guys a story about my mother-in-law. She wasn't here. Now she's here. Sorry, not sorry. Well, you know, she, let me tell you. She's been praying for these appointments. Remember, if you missed it last week, I told a wonderful story about her at a pharmacy with somebody. Today, I'm going to tell you a story about this. What is that right there? Can somebody tell me what that is? Costco. How do you know it's Costco? You've never been there. Costco. So Pam and Russ went to Costco this week, and they prayed that God would set up divine appointments in Costco. I don't know the last time, I can't raise my hand, the last time I went in a grocery store and said, God, send me some divine appointments, right? They didn't have glow tracks. They didn't go and have somebody books. Like, they went in to have some appointments with people. And they're standing there in the bread aisle, Mary, okay? And this lady's on her phone, and it's on speakerphone, and she's talking to her son. His name's Chris, and She says to them something like, hey, if I had headphones, nobody would have to hear me talk like this anymore, because I guess her speaker didn't work or something quite well. And then she goes, hey, Chris, meet my new friends. And he goes, who's that? And she says, what's your name? Pam. What's your name? Russ. Well, hey, nice to meet you guys, right? And they start having a conversation. And then, correct me if I'm wrong, at one point you said, did you say I could pray for you? Jesus loves you first. Yeah. She says, you know, because she could tell she was a little frazzled. She says, remember, Jesus loves you. The woman just changed. And she goes, can we pray for you guys right now? And they go, yeah, pray for us. And her son, too, right on the phone, in the middle of the bread aisle in Costco, they're praying for this woman, right? In Costco. And afterwards, what was her?
She said, God sent you in my life today.
She said, God sent you in my life today just for this.
Amen.
You know, there are people across our path. Like I said last week, there's 20 people this week. There's probably 50 if we pray for it, right? 50 people in our path that we can. I don't know, can you? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. We got to talk to people. And that's the thing, guys. Like I said last week, we've had this mentality oftentimes or this this view that we need to go out and we need to convert people. We need to show them what the truth is, right? We need to give them this. They'll get that. Eventually, they'll get that. But what they need is they need their needs met. Jesus went after people and he met their needs first. Then he bid them follow me. So let's not throw things at people. Let's not try to convert people. Let's go and love them with the love of God first. Amen? Then we can have a conversation. Then we can allow the Spirit to move on their heart and do things and convict them, right? So let's remember that. There's a few more things I want to go over in the Gospel of Luke that I think are interesting. Luke does an amazing job at detailing and documenting the role of women in Christ's life and ministry. Okay? And where this gospel goes is the treatment of women improves as a general rule throughout the gospel. We could even say that the great friend of women's liberation is the ultimate liberator, Jesus. Right? A common Middle Eastern belief about women back then in this time was that they were lower in nature and they weren't allowed to speak publicly and they had to eat and walk separately from men. But Luke here mentions them over and over and over again. And actually, he mentions them 43 times in the Gospel of Luke. The other three Gospels combined mentions them 49 times. But Luke alone mentions them 43 times. The very birth of the Messiah was told from Mary's perspective. And in Luke 8, 1-3, it talks about Christ's ministry being supported by faithful women. It's fascinating that Jesus opens those doors and says, hey, everybody's included here, guys, even the gals, right? There's also a strong emphasis on children in the Gospel of Luke. Luke places a strong emphasis on this, and ancient literature is actually very devoid of material about children or for children. And Luke is the only gospel narrative that includes children, the childhood events of the life of Jesus. The only gospel. Three times in Luke, he mentions someone's only child, the widow's child in Luke 7, Jairus' daughter in Luke 8, and the man's only child in Luke 9. Luke uses the word infants as opposed to Matthew and Mark, who use the word children. So it's fascinating that Luke actually brings up children over and over and over again. Why? Because the God we serve is a God who's interested in even the children. Amen? You know, there was a pastor, I believe from Chicago. There he is right there. And he went in and moved into this neighborhood and realized that it was very gang infested. There was two rival gangs, big gangs in Chicago. And the year he moved in, there was a girl that was a child, infant, that was shot and was paralyzed right on his own street. And he began to say and pray, God, I know I want to work with these guys. And he began to work with them on both sides. And he started a ministry called Project Hood. And he went in and gave them hope and talked with them. And several, you know, shootings happened over the next 3 years. And finally, a three-year-old was shot down outside of somebody's house. And he said, enough is enough. And so he said, I'm going to get these two gangs together. And we're going to try to create some kind of peace treaty or truce. And everybody said, even the police said, you're crazy. He brought the two gangs to a room in a house. He said it was the most intense time in his life to have these two guys who shot at each other all the time in a room with him. And he had to lay some ground rules. And through that event, they actually talked about the suffering that the community was going through and the heartbreak and the those who were affected because of those bullets that went astray. And those two gangs signed the treaty and had not, as far as I read in Christianity Today, the article, had not had any conflict in those streets since. And somebody asked him, in the article, they asked him, well, how is it that you could go and make this happen? Have them sign this treaty? That's crazy, right? Because the police were like, we've tried to do this and we couldn't do it. And he says, it's because I was involved in their lives. It wasn't a big moment where I brought them into the room. It was all those small moments where I visited them in the hospital. I went and knocked on their doors. We handed Bibles to everybody in the neighborhood. And I loved them unconditionally, no matter what. And it was because of those little moments that added up to this one moment when I could say, hey guys, we can't do this anymore. We have to do things differently. And they listened and they respected him. And you know, that gives me hope, because God is a God of detail, and he sets lots of things up in our lives, lots of opportunities for us. And I don't know about you, but for me, I miss a lot of those. I miss the mark. You know, I'll hear the Spirit moving me and tell me to do something happen this week, and I go the other way. You know, I decide not to reach out, not to pray, not to go that way. And the good news this morning is that there's more opportunities. And the better news is that God's grace is sufficient. And he's able to come in and he's able to redirect us and say, hey, you missed that. Let's learn from it. Look what I have for you now. Right? And so this morning, I just want to encourage you as you go throughout this week that you pay attention to the details, both in the Gospel of Luke as you read it, but also in life, because there's people outside these walls who God wants us to reach, who God wants us to minister to. And I know that for every single person here, God has divine appointments for you. Every single person. This morning, I do have some questions for y'all. You like that Texas drawl there? It's still there. So, yeah, Oscar's going to come up. And Thad, could you help me out here, please? So just a few questions, and I'm going to go through them. Just to preface it, you know, if there's a question, please answer the question. If you get off track, I may interrupt you and interject and say thank you, but, you know, wait for another question. Also, if you've already spoken, let somebody else speak. This won't take long. I just have a few questions this morning. But what's one thing that stood out to you from this message, this presentation? Or what's one question that you have about Luke or the message? Yeah. Okay, thank you. How easy it is to be loved by God.
I'd like to bounce off that, Denise, and just say how inclusive the love of God and through Jesus Christ is in our lives. Everything is taken care of, the things we can think of and even the things we can't think of have been given to us.
Amen. Where? Oh, right here. Go ahead.
Well, I like the one of the last things that you just said.
Yeah.
That even when we miss those divine appointments, because I'm thinking in my head, oh, I just did, I think, this morning.
Yeah.
That his grace is sufficient and that he'll put more there. And keep trying. I like that.
Yeah. Don't stop trying. That's right. One more.
I was walking on the property this week, and there was a biker came, bicycler. So we were talking, and the Lord impressed me because he had came all the way from the Pomo. So I went in the house. I gave him water. I gave him a glow track. And appreciated that. But the Lord told me to give him something. And we talked. We just talked, and he appreciated that.
Okay. Thanks, George. One over here.
The part that I read that stood out for me the most was being a voice for the voiceless. Mm. There have been times in my life when I felt like I have nothing to share.
Yeah.
And there's someone in my family right now who's having a difficult time speaking to her family for quite some time. And so it really impressed upon me that I need to be more aware of what I could do for that situation.
Good. Thank you. Here's a question. How is Luke different from the other Gospels? Right here.
Luke says it in the first four verses.
What's that?
I love Luke. That was...
You're a Luke guy?
You were Mark.
Yeah?
I was Luke.
I should have let you preach.
In as such as many.
Yeah?
Many.
Yeah.
Not just the disciples. Thousands.
Yeah.
Have taken into hand, set in order a narrative of those things which are most surely believed among us. Just as those who from the very beginning, John the Baptist,
yeah,
were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, delivered them to us. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an early account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed.
Hmm.
I love that.
Thank you. Right here. How is Luke different from the Gospels?
I'm going on the question that we just had.
Yeah.
And now the one thing that I'm taught praying, when we pray to the Lord, God always answers us. A lot of times he's not answering the way we like for him to answer. But I'll tell you something. I prayed this week because I need my daughter really, really bad here. And she's afraid that she would never make enough money to believe here in Pizzo. And I told her, don't ever say that, because God, there's always a possibility with God. And I talked to the pastor's wife, and she prayed with me. And the pastor's always praying, and whenever he prays, he's always answering. And I want to praise the Lord for that. My name is Jeannie Presley. My daughter, I'm praying for my daughter, Rhonda Presley, because I need her here, and my son doesn't have time for me. So will everybody just pray me down, put me down for that, and I want to praise the Lord because he's already answering. Praise the Lord.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Pastor, I have a question on this. Is Luke the only, most people, I think, if I remember right, think that he was a Gentile. Mm-hmm. So he was an outsider. So what do you think, as you've been kind of, it made me think of all these stories that you're talking about and the inclusiveness.
Yeah.
What would you say about how his experience, even though he was intimately involved in these stories, he came from a perspective of being an outsider?
Yeah, I mean, he was on the other side, unlike most of the gospel writers. So for him to experience that and then to come in and be part of the group, I mean, he saw that. The others didn't... They were kind of, even years later, you can kind of see they had their audience. But he was like, no, guys, this is how God is. And so for him to have that perspective is amazing. It's truly amazing. We're going to go to the next question. In what ways did Christ demonstrate an all-inclusive mentality with the gospel message? In what ways did he do that? I listed a few, but in what ways? You can even say one word. You don't need the mic necessarily. Samaritan woman, yeah. Right? What else?
Even his parables were applicable to
everybody. Yeah.
They were just.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, what else? Anything else?
Incarnation.
Uh-huh.
John, male and cousin.
Yeah. Okay.
The feeding of the 5,000.
Okay. All the people, yeah. Very good. Okay, here's a big one. How can you, it's everybody sitting right now, okay? If you're not sitting, then, well, you can answer too. How can you reach out to those who are broken and lost this week?
Brian and Costco.
Go shopping.
Go shopping. Okay, how else? Yeah.
First of all, you have to be open for the filling of the Holy Spirit, because it's not you that will be doing it. It will be the Spirit through you. Jesus will go and save the lost, because that's what he said he came for. So you have to be open and willing. And every day you have to ask that Holy Spirit to come into your life and show you what you need to do for him.
Amen.
You have to ask for the Holy Spirit every moment of your life and dwelling. And then you have to ask him to help to step out of your box, to step out of your comfort zone. And do what Jesus wants you to do. He will give you that help.
Thank you. Adam?
I think a lot of times it's hard for me to see past the week and what I'm doing during the day working.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think of that as like the main goal is, okay, I'm working. I have to go home and be with the family. But like you were saying, don't miss the moments.
Yeah.
You know, there's moments throughout every single day. And if you pray about the moments and ask God to, you know, slow you down enough to think about those moments, then you can be open to it.
Yeah. Over here. Both raised their hand. They both raised their hand.
One of my pastors back in college, Dale, gave me a book. It's called The 10-Second Rule.
Oh, yeah.
And it's an amazing book that, you know, God gives us these little time periods where he puts in your brain, you need to do this.
Yeah.
And if we listen to his voice, many times it'll only take us 5 seconds to say, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
So if God convicts you, don't wait. Do it right then, and you'll be amazed at the things that will fill your life.
Amen.
We oftentimes talk about Jesus feeding the 5,000, but he didn't. He took that bread, and then he gave it to his disciples for them to go and feed.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we reach out to others, we have to have something to give them ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So when we are feeding daily, you know, going to God for our daily bread, then we have it to give to others.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Thank you.
Pastor, you know, you mentioned about the hands and feet, and I say that myself a lot. But it made me think more as you were saying that, as we're talking about asking for the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit to give me the heart of Jesus.
Mm.
Because if I don't have the heart of Jesus, I'm going to be kicking and punching people with what I think are the hands and feet of Jesus sometimes. So I need to ask for the Holy Spirit to give me the heart of Jesus. When I have that, like that pastor there, they knew that he had their heart. And so that's why they were willing to kind of give themselves that way.
100%. 100%. All right. Last question. Well, second to last question. How have you been impacted by an all-inclusive gospel?
Well, growing up Catholic, we were always, our sins were always pointed out. And so by the time I was a teenager, I thought, I can't be included in this. I'm just too bad. I'm too bad of a person. And but I knew Jesus loved me. I always knew that Jesus loved me. And through friends, through other family members, they taught me, you belong. But that was still in the back of my mind. No, I don't belong. And I praise the Lord for Amy Register and Josh Majors, because they said, nope, I'm here to tell you. They went to my house and they said, I'm here to tell you that you are included. And they showed me the all-inclusive gospel, and I just praise the Lord for that.
Thank you.
Well, I'll volunteer something.
Sure.
We're told that Jesus died for us while we were still yet enemies of his. In other words, we didn't deserve it. And I found that that person doesn't deserve help. Rationalization frequently gets in the way of helping somebody. They're lazy. They're a criminal. They made stupid choices. It's their own fault. You know, that they don't deserve it, rationale.
Yeah.
And I always have to remind myself, I didn't deserve anything that God's given me.
Amen. That's good.
Deserve ain't got nothing to do with it, in the famous words of Clint Eastwood.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. Well, let's go on to the last question. How can we pray for you today? How can I pray for you today?
I pray that what George said. I always said that Adventists had the best kept secret. And what George said, we have to pray hard. Really do introspection to get us outside the box.
Mm.
That's how we can fill this church up and build another one.
Mm.
Josh, I have been so impacted by understanding two things. I'm going to heaven, so I am absolutely sure of my salvation in Christ Jesus. And the other thing is that I'm forgiven even before I ask. Those two things have rolled me in a direction that God can use me in so many ways. So I see God's constant love and forgiveness and love, and I just want to praise Him all the time. It gets stronger and stronger until I can't even breathe sometimes. So I'm going to tell you one thing that happened to me yesterday. Sylvia told me that the guy that took our truck and said that he was an ASE certified mechanic has just finally, after so many cockamamie stories, told us that he cannot fix this truck and it is a part. And I said, Lord, I said, what is that? I said, okay, I know somebody that can. We have to do something proactive. We have to sue this guy. I have to go to be a business and all that stuff. But guess what? The Lord convicted me this morning to not hold his sins against him, and that the Lord would find a way to provide another truck, a better truck. So, and God answered lots of prayers over SoCal time. So. That's what you can keep praying for me, because I'm praying for the people around me so that I can serve my community and love them, embrace them the way Jesus does.
Thank you. Thank you. How else can I pray for you this morning?
Strength to continue to do his work with those.
I've been praying for you this week for that.
Praise the Lord, I felt it. And there's a couple more. I was really broken Friday. A couple of friends of mine are that I just adore. I never understood the love. I'm not a parent, so I never understood how parents could be so permissive with their children who are on drugs and in illegal activities. Until I heard that this young man went back to drugs and back to illegal activities, and it just broke me down. So please keep Rudy Diedrichson and Amanda Diedrichson, because through our ministering to them, they got out of drugs and they were doing so well, and I just love them to death. And now I understand what parents go through when their children fall.
Yeah. It's many people we could pray for that. Yeah.
This is more of a personal thing, but also I think it can apply to all of us. But as God calls us to do things,
mm-hmm.
sometimes we don't feel like qualified or I don't feel like I can do that. For trust and belief that He will take care of it. It's not us.
God doesn't call the qualified. Qualifies the call. Thank you. Yeah.
I was just going to mention off of what you were speaking about, what came to my mind was what God must feel when we disappoint, when we, his broken heart, and I just aim to try and please him.
It's true. You know, when you think about that, when you think about that, you go to Costco or the tire shop or Starbucks or church. Hey, and God has somebody for you, and he knows because he can see the future, and he has somebody for you and to talk to or to pray for, even silently. And yet we don't do it. I mean, God has set this up not so he can just say, well, I'm God, this is what I do. No, he's done it because he wants to connect here to here with us. And he wants us to connect. And he wants people to see how good he is and how true he is and how much he loves them. And so we can only continue to listen to the still small voice and to continue to pray for open hearts and open minds and not be stuck in our own boxes. So, anybody else? Prayer requests. Close. Right here.
I just want everyone here to pray for the people who don't feel qualified. When they feel bad, when they don't reach out to somebody, when you think you've heard God's voice and then you don't do it. Because he has qualified you at the cross. Mm. He has accepted you. And it's like the enemy is just trying to make you feel guilty when you fall. But he's right there to pick you back up, just like a regular parent that picks up its child when they fall. Yep. So don't worry about that. Don't feel guilty. Just get back up. He's right there for you. He loves you so much.
You know, one thing this series has done for me, and it wasn't even the intentionality that I had when I began to develop this, is it showed me and revealed to me once again this kind of a fresh view of Jesus was about ministering to people. And that's what we ought to be about too, isn't it? I mean, if we're followers of Jesus, and we are, then our heart should long to minister to others. And I think that this series has given me a good view of what Jesus was about through the gospel. So, go ahead.
Our greatest need is the need of the Holy Spirit. And if we could pray that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit would reach each and every one of us on an individual basis, it would solidify our faith in what God has given us to do.
Amen. And thank you for that.
Joshua?
Yes.
I don't like hearing Pam's story. I don't. I mean, there's part of me that says, no, I don't want to hear that. I'm at Costco every time. I'm living life all the time. I don't want to hear that. I mean, that's my sinful part. It's like, man, that's going to mess up my routine.
What's the worst case scenario, though, Oscar? You're in Costco next time, and you're like, I'm going to tell somebody Jesus loves him. What's the worst case scenario that's going to happen to you?
I'm going to miss it.
Okay, or if you tell them, and what's the worst case thing that could happen?
They're going to swing at you and let's finish up with him and then go our way. But it's really just coming to terms with the fact that, like she said, you didn't want to speak to people, and here you are reaching out because not on your own terms. God is guiding you that way. And it's like we can all do it. He's showing it, and this is when we share like this. It's kind of like it's upsetting because it's like, oh man, what am I doing? What opportunities is God giving me that I'm throwing away?
If we wake up and in the morning when we pray at the breakfast table or in bed or wherever you pray, if we say, God, open doors for me today, put people in my path today, I promise you God has people he'll put in your path. Amen. Promise you. And you know, many of us will shut those doors, as you said, and that's okay because God is working and we can see that, and it will grow our faith. Amen. And at some point we'll open a door and then we'll have this like incredible sense of wow. Don't let it think you did something because you didn't. God worked through us. So I just want to kind of leave with that note today and pray. I'm going to ask Oscar to come up and pray with me. We're both going to pray this morning, do something a little different. Oscar, why don't you start and I'll finish. Let's all stand and we'll close with prayer.
Father, lover our souls, you are here. We have spoken our hearts. You have reached us. As the physician wrote that gospel about the great physician, Father, help us to realize that we need surgery and we need the greatest surgeon in the universe to reach into our hearts and to take out that selfishness that makes us be comfortable in a world that is dying. Father, I thank you for all these testimonies, for the prayers that have been brought to you, and that as you take away that pride, Father, that we will get a double portion and be filled by your Holy Spirit, Father. We need it. The world needs it. We need to be your hands and feet. We need to be the heart of Jesus. People need to see that in our lives. Father, I ask for all of us here from 92 to 2 years old and anywhere in between, Father. You're not a respecter of age either. No. You want to have the infants to the aged working for you until your kingdom comes. And we know that you are faithful and you will answer these prayers.
Father God, I agree with the prayer that Oscar just prayed. And Lord, I know that you are here in this place and your angels are here in this place. And you have many things, many people for us this week that our paths are going to cross. And God, we want to be open as your people. To minister to them, because we read through the Gospel of Luke and we see how he was so attentive to every little detail. God, I pray that you would reveal that to us this week, all the little details about who you are, how much you love us, and who you want us to bless and serve this week. God, as Oscar mentioned, it can be a little abrasive, it can be a little uncomfortable to hear those stories. Because we oftentimes think, oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to offend. I don't want to do this. But Lord, at the end of the eyes, it's not about us. It's about you and what you want. And we know that you want to bless people. You want to captivate hearts. You want to bring healing. You want to bring pain and turn it into pleasure. Father, I pray that this week doors will be opened and we can not only get a better glimpse of who you are through Luke as we read it, but we can get a better glimpse of who you are through the hurting and the healing. And Father, as we leave today, ask a blessing on us. May we have a great rest of the Sabbath. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You guys have a wonderful Sabbath. Thank you.